In the last episode, we spent our time on routing. We steered packets, deciding where they should go, using system routes and user-defined routes. But routing only answers one question. It answers where a packet is headed. It never asks whether that packet should be allowed to arrive at all. That is exactly the job we tackle today, controlling who gets in and who gets out, using network security groups and application security groups. Here's the key idea to hold on to for the whole walk. Routing decides where a packet goes. A network security group decides whether it is allowed to go there at all. A network security group, or NSG, is Azure's built-in firewall that works at layer 3 and layer 4. It is distributed, which means there is no appliance you have to deploy, and no box sitting in the middle. You simply attach it to your resources, and it filters inbound and outbound traffic for you. So what exactly is inside one? A network security group is really just a list of security rules, and each rule either allows or denies traffic in one direction. You attach an NSG to a subnet, or to a network interface, which we call a NIC, or to both. And the same network security group can be reused across many subnets and many network interfaces. Write the policy once, apply it in lots of places. Now here's the single most important behavior to understand, and it will save you from writing twice as many rules as you need. A network security group is stateful. When a connection starts, Azure creates a little flow record for it, and it remembers that connection. Because of that memory, return traffic is automatically permitted. Let me make that concrete. Imagine you allow an outbound rule to port 80, so a virtual machine can fetch something from the web. You do not need a matching inbound rule to let the response come back. Azure already knows the connection is legitimate, because it started it. You only need an explicit inbound rule when the conversation is actually initiated from outside. Restated simply, if your side started the conversation, the reply comes back for free. There's a tidy memory hook for this. Think state, tuple, priority. Almost every network security group question comes down to those three things. Is it stateful, so return traffic is free? What five tuple matched? And which priority won? Let's unpack the last two. The five tuple is the set of five things a rule looks at to decide if traffic matches. Source address, source port, destination address, destination port, and the protocol. That's it. Five attributes. And once traffic matches a rule, processing stops immediately. Azure does not keep looking down the list. The first match wins, and everything below it with the same attributes is simply ignored. That brings us to priority, which controls the order. Every rule has a priority number between 100 and 4096. And here's the part people get backwards, so say it with me. A lower number means higher priority. Rules are processed from the lowest number upward, and the first one that matches wins. You also cannot have two rules with the same priority in the same direction. A nice habit is to leave gaps, priority 100, then 200, then 300, so you can slot new rules in between later, without renumbering everything. Let's talk about what you actually set in a rule. You give it a name, a priority, a source and a destination, a protocol like TCP, or UDP, a direction that's either inbound or outbound, a port or range of ports, and finally, an action, allow or deny. For the source and destination, you have choices. You can use any, a specific IP address, a range written as a CIDR block like 10.0.0.0/24, a service tag, or an application security group. One quick trap. For an Azure virtual machine, you use its private IP address, not its public one. Let me highlight two of those choices, because they're how professionals avoid brittle rules. First, service tags. A service tag represents a whole group of IP address prefixes for a given Azure service, with names like Internet, Virtual Network, Azure Load Balancer, or Storage. Microsoft maintains the actual address ranges behind the tag, so your rule stays correct even when the service's IP addresses change, and you never have to chase updated lists. You can use only one service tag per source or destination field. Now, why does all this matter before you've even written a rule? Because every network security group already comes with default rules, and you cannot delete them. You can override them by adding a rule with a lower number, meaning higher priority, but the defaults are always there sitting at the very highest numbers, which is the lowest priority, so your custom rules always run first. Here's what those defaults actually do, and this is worth memorizing. Inbound, traffic within the virtual network is allowed, traffic from the Azure load balancer is allowed, and then everything else inbound is denied. That final deny inbound rule is called deny all inbound, and it sits at priority 65,500. Outbound, traffic within the virtual network is allowed, all traffic out to the internet is allowed, and everything else is denied. So the takeaway is this. By default, traffic inside your virtual network flows both ways. All outbound to the internet is open, and all inbound from the internet is blocked. If you want to expose a virtual machine to the internet, you must add an allow rule with a priority number lower than 65,500, so it beats that default deny. One small platform note. Basic infrastructure services, things like DHCP, DNS, and health monitoring, reach your virtual machines through special host addresses, one of which is 168.63.129.16. These are not subject to your network security group rules unless you deliberately go out of your way to block them, so you don't accidentally break the platform. Now let's get to the concept that unlocks clean designs, application security groups or ASGs. Instead of writing rules against IP addresses, an application security group lets you group network interfaces by their role and write rules against the group name. Picture a classic three-tier app: web servers, business logic servers, and database servers. You create three groups, one for web, one for logic, one for the database, and you drop each virtual machine's network interface into the group that matches its role. Then your rules talk about roles, not addresses. When you add a new web server, you just put its interface into the web group, and it inherits all the web rules automatically. No IP list to maintain, ever. Let me picture a scenario for you to see how this comes together. Imagine you need the internet to reach your web tier on port 80, and you need your database, which listens on port 1433, to be reachable only from the logic tier and blocked from everyone else. Here's the reasoning out loud. The default deny inbound already blocks the internet from your database and logic tiers, so you don't need to write anything for that. You add one allow rule letting the internet hit the web group on port 80, say at priority 100. Then, because the default rule allows all intra-virtual network traffic, any virtual machine inside the network could otherwise reach the database. So you add an allow at priority 110, letting the logic group reach the database group on port 1433, and then a deny at priority 120 blocking everyone else from the database on that port. Order is everything here. The allow at 110 has a lower number than the deny at 120, so it wins for the logic tier, while the deny catches everybody else. That's the pattern Microsoft teaches. Group by role, write rules against the group. A few constraints on application security groups to keep in your pocket. A network interface can belong to multiple groups. All network interfaces in a group must live in the same virtual network. And a rule only affects a network interface if that interface is actually a member of the group named in the rule, even when the network security group is attached to the whole subnet. Non-members are simply untouched by that rule. Now for the behavior that gets tested more than any other, how subnet and network interface network security groups combine. Remember, you can attach a network security group at two levels, the subnet and the network interface. And the evaluation order flips depending on direction. For inbound traffic, Azure evaluates the subnet network security group first, then the network interface one. For outbound traffic, it's the reverse, the network interface first, then the subnet. But here's the spoken intuition that really matters. When both levels have a network security group, the traffic must be allowed by both to get through. If either level denies at its step, the packet is dropped, and the other level never even sees it. And if a level has no network security group, that step is simply skipped. Let me make that vivid. With a virtual machine that has a network security group on its subnet and another on its network interface. Say an inbound connection to port 443 arrives from the internet. The subnet group runs first. Suppose it has an allow rule for port 443, great, the traffic passes that level and moves to the network interface group. But suppose the network interface group has no allow for 443. Then the next thing that matches is the default deny inbound at 65,500, and the connection is blocked. The deciding rule is that default deny on the network interface. There is no override, no way for the subnets allow to rescue it. Both levels must agree to allow. The more restrictive answer always wins. The fix is simple: add the allow for 443 to the network interface group 2, so the port is open in both places. This is why Microsoft actually advises against attaching network security groups at both the subnet and the network interface at the same time. Overlapping rules conflict and create filtering problems that are painful to diagnose. The cleaner approach is one network security group on the subnet, and when different virtual machines in that subnet need different policies, reach for application security groups rather than per network interface groups. And notice a virtual machine with no network security group at either level has all inbound traffic blocked anyway, so it is secure by default until you explicitly allow something. So how do you troubleshoot when something's blocked? Picture this: you can't reach a Linux virtual machine over SSH, which is port 22, the machine is running. First, you view the effective security rules for that machine's network interface. This is the aggregated set of subnet plus network interface rules actually being applied, and you look for the highest priority rule matching your source address, destination port 22, protocol TCP. Usually you'll find no allow for 22, so the default deny inbound is quietly the culprit. Second, you confirm with IP flow verify in Network Watcher, you feed it the 5 tuple, and it returns a clean allow or deny plus the exact name of the deciding rule. Third, you fix it by adding an inbound allow for port 22, and if network security groups exist on both the interface and the subnet, you add it to both. And if the rules look fine but it still fails, the cause is likely outside the network security group, maybe a firewall inside the operating system, or a user-defined route from last episode redirecting your return traffic somewhere unexpected. One last operational note: network security group flow logs are being retired, and Microsoft now recommends moving to virtual network flow logs instead. Also, you can't delete a network security group while it's still attached to a subnet or interface, and you can't delete an application security group while it still holds network interfaces. Detach first. Let's do a quick recap before we finish. A network security group is a stateful layer 3 and layer 4 filter, so return traffic comes back for free. Rules match on the 5 tuple. Priorities run from 100 to 4096, with the lower number winning, and the first match stops processing. The default rules allow traffic inside the virtual network, allow outbound to the internet, and deny inbound from the internet at priority 65,500. Inbound goes subnet first, then interface. Outbound goes interface first, then subnet. And when both exist, both must allow. Use service tags for Azure services and application security groups to group your own machines by role. That covers filtering the traffic that flows to your machines. Next time, in episode 6, we shift from filtering traffic to securing access itself. We'll look at reaching virtual machines that have no public IP address at all, using Azure Bastion, and connecting privately to platform services with service endpoints and private link. I'll see you on the next walk.